an oral history tape.
Oh my life.
Yeah.
Could you tell me your little something about your parents and grandparents?
Well, I don't remember my grandparents. My grandmother on my father's side died when my father was young, and his grandmother raised him. Her name was Harriet Carson. And
let me see. Could you tell me his name and a little something about your grandfather?
My grandfather's name was Ike Carson.
Well, could you tell me something about your father?
My father's name was Alfred Napoleon. Alfred Bonaparte Carson.
Mm-hmm.
Napoleon Bonaparte Carson was his name.
Mm-hmm.
And he met my mother was Lizzie Lackey before she married. And she was from Roland down below Stanford. And on my father's side, it was 8 in the family, and they all died young, except my father and 2 brothers, Uncle Will and Uncle John.
Could you tell me what they died of?
No, I don't know. I remember when Uncle Will died, but just old age is the only thing I can remember.
Can you remember anybody that was in your family that was born a slave or set free as a slave?
Well, my great-grandmother was a small girl, 8 or 9 years old, or maybe a little older when the slave was set free.
Do you remember her name?
Her name was Harriet Carson.
Mm-hmm.
But put that off me.
Now, can you tell me some of the things that went on while you was a little girl?
Yes. Well, it was a lot to talk. It's a lot to talk about. But when I was a little girl, things was a lot different. People, the men folks, most of them did farm work, and some worked on railroad, and my father helped to build helped to lay the rails for the streetcars in Lexington, and he helped to build this water tower to Stanford, and he did farm work.
Mm-hmm.
And times was hard then, and the women did washing and ironing, took in washing and ironing, and the children helped the best that they could.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall the horse and buggy days? Or?
Yeah, I remember horse and buggy days. And that was the way we had to, that was our transportation. And if you had a horse and buggy, it was just like somebody having a car nowadays. And if you had a horse and buggy, or either a horse and a wagon, well, they just put the family in there and just go right on, go wherever they was going, 10 or 12 miles. It didn't make any difference. And they would go from place to place to see the family. And just pile the children in there. And if it was in the wintertime, they took quilts and wrapped around us and heated bricks. And that kept our feet and hands warm. And we just went right on.
Could you tell me something about preserving food and so forth?
Well, they canned food, canned a lot of it, and what they didn't can, they pickled and put it up in salt brine. And you take fruits and vegetables, they would take them and bury them. You dug a hole, a real deep hole in the ground, and you lined it with straw, and you put the fruits and vegetables in there, and covered it up real good. And when you got ready for it, you went out and you opened a little hole, and you got out whatever you wanted, and as much as you wanted to use.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other ways of preserving food?
Well, they used to sulfurize apples.
Mm-hmm.
You take, they would take sulfur and put it in a barrel and set it on fire, and as the smoke come up, you'd hold the apples over it and sulfurize the apples and put them up, and they kept all winter. When you got ready for them, why, you went and got out as much as you wanted and washed them off and ate them like raw apples.
Well, I know that some people used to have smoke houses and little wells where they kept things. Did you all have any little wells where you kept anything?
No, cellars. No, we didn't have a cellar. That's the reason why we dug the hole in the ground to keep fruit. Those that had cellars, it was the same thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, they used to keep milk too, in milk and butter in the cellar.
Mm-hmm. What about ice? Did you have any ways of preserving ice?
Well, they would have a special well just full of ice, and during the wintertime they'd go out on the pond and cut this ice and haul it in and put it in this well, and they would do that until they got the well full, and then they would put the top on the well and it would stay there all during the summer.
As time went on, was there any occasion when maybe somebody came around selling ice or anything like that?
Yes, in the later years when they got sold, they used ice boxes, and it would be maybe certain one that had a wagon, buggy where they could haul ice, they would go and get it once a week and bring it around and sell it.
Mm-hmm. Did you all have any family recipes like making sardine or pool candy or anything like that?
Yeah, when they had come to the candy pulling, while they pull, make candy and pull it, and whenever they had a party, that's what they did. They pull candy and just have fun like that at a get together, play games, and then we make the candy and pull it. Mm-hmm. Around and eat it.
How about making sorghum?
Well, yes, they used to make sorghum. Then everybody wouldn't raise the sugar cane, but those that did, they'd raise the sugar cane, and in the fall of the year when time comes to make the sorghum, they cut it and haul it to the one that had the grinding mill, and everybody would bring the sorghum there, and they would have a horse, and they put a burlap bag over the horse's face, and then it would go round and round and round. And that would grind the sorghum. You put the cane in one end, and the juice would come out on the other end. And when the juice come out, well, they collect that and boil it down and make the salt.
Oh, they have special ways of preserving the salt?
Yeah, well, they usually put it in, those that had kegs, they put it in kegs. And if they didn't have enough for that, why, they just put it in crocks and jars and seal it up and keep it.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember at any time there being a war that you remember living through?
Oh, yeah, World War II. I lived through that.
Could you talk a little about that?
Well, that was a war that looked like it hit most every family. Somebody had a sister, a brother, a father that was gone to the war, and it was just sad. Everybody had somebody that was in the war, an uncle, a brother, a cousin, or something, and everybody just seemed to be so friendly. Even when you went out of your neighborhood, why, they were still friendly, and people, we all sat around, we all had that in common.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be over town sometimes, and when a convoy would come through, sometimes it'd take them about 2 hours to come through, and everybody would just stop what they were doing and just stand on the street and look at them and wave at them as they were going through.
Did you know about where these convoys were going to?
No. They would be going from one camp to the other.
And during this time, World War, did you say two?
Yeah.
Was this the year that they had the WPA?
No, WPA was before that, but during this war, that's when they had the rationing. And they rationed sugar, canned goods, shoes. And besides that, you had a book of stamps, and you could use a stamp of wheat to get these things. And besides that, there were so many different things that was hard to get that wasn't right, and you had to stand in line to get certain, well, beef and shortening and butter and cigarettes.
Do you think that the people were, was there anybody that could save any money during this time?
During the war?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a lot of people could save money during the war, because that was, during the war was the time when the factories began to open up to hiring more blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people left, they just completely left Kentucky and went other places in order to get jobs.
Mm-hmm. Was there any soup lines or anything like that?
No, there wasn't any soup lines.
Do you remember the,
even in the, during the Depression, I don't remember any soup lines, but mm-hmm. they had a relief where that they gave away certain food staples.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember some of these staples?
I remember grapefruit, rice, and I can't remember what else they gave away.
Was these just for everybody, or just certain people?
Well, it was for everybody that qualified for it, those that didn't have jobs and wasn't working. And I think it was flour that they gave away.
Could you talk a little bit about living accommodation, how the people lived during the Depression?
Well, during the Depression, everybody was just about in the same boat, but people tried to help each other. If they had something that you didn't have, well, they were glad to let you have it.
It seemed like there wasn't to be too much for black people to have done for entertainment. Did you have any kind of recreation that you went to?
Oh, yes, and during the wintertime, we had the schools and the school plays and programs, and at church we had programs and plays, and social, they have cakewalks and pie suppers and box lunches, and that was our entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have a revival, tent meetings, and they'd have singers and ministers from different places that would come through here, and they would stay 2 and 3 and sometimes 4 weeks at a time. And they would stay just from one house to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And during the summer, they would have ball games and picnics, and everybody would get together and just sit around and have a nice time.
Has there been any really great changes in the place from the time you were a little girl to now?
Oh yes, it's been lots of changes. Now we have one blacktop road, and we have electricity, and we can have all the convenience of city living. We have about bathrooms and just anything that you want to work to get, you can have it.
Do you remember any different presidents or get to hear any of make speeches or any of their slogans or anything?
No, I don't remember too much about that because I always had to work and I didn't pay too much attention to that until World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Which I remember the one from World War II on down.
See, we talked about horse and buggies, but we didn't talk about cars. Do you recall riding in a Model T or anything?
Oh, yes. I remember that. It wasn't but one man out here that had a Model Ford, and
what was his name?
Jim Hayes.
Uh-huh.
He had a Model Ford, and then later on, several of the boys, they got a Model Ford, and wherever they went, they just filled the car up, and everybody else would just go right on, just pile in there as many as you could get, and go right on wherever they were going.
Would you say that this one car was used for community services, like taking people to the doctor or anything special?
Yeah, if there was anything like that that had to be done, well, they would take them.
Mm-hmm. When people didn't go to the doctor, do you know any of the home remedies that was used?
Well, they usually used teas and rubs to go out and get broom sage and whole hound and make tea for colds and pneumonia, and they used catnip, to make a lot of catnip tea for children. They had measles, chicken pox, where they would give you that tea. And they would fix some kind of sometimes be the liniment to rub you in and put you to bed, and that was it. Mm-hmm.
Then we'll probably talk about something that's just a little bit more sadder. When older folks died, do you remember the customs of the funeral? Did they bring them at home or dress? Did they ever dress them at home and then?
Well, when old people died, they would, well, they would get a bunch of women and they would wash them up and clean them up, and they usually put them on the ironing board. We call it the cooling board. And they stayed on that until the Undertaker come. When the Undertaker came, he would come and get them and take them to his place, and then he would dress them again in what they was going to be buried in, mm-hmm. and bring them back to the house, mm-hmm. and set the coffin up, and then the family and the friends would sit up with them from 2 to 3 nights, days and nights. And then they would take them out and have the funeral and bury them.
During this 2 to 3 day night that the family set up with them, was there anything special going on? Was there any singing or?
Well, sometimes they had, you know, depends on if they belonged to a lodge or a club or something like that, where the lodge would have a night, and they would have their services. And then if they belonged to a prayer band, well, the prayer band would have a night, and they would come and have their services, which was mostly a praying all night.
Mm-hmm. Was there any great difference in the coffins and the way they were set up then and the way they're set up now?
Well, yes, it was a difference. The coffins used to be made out of wood. Now they're made out of plastic, hard rubber plastic. Mm-hmm. The older coffin used to be so heavy. And all the,
well, do you remember any of the styles, maybe like clothes that women wore?
Yes, I remember when old women wore long dresses and the bonnets and the high button shoes, and the men, well, the men wore the little derby hats, and they had high button shoes too. Mm-hmm. And the pant leg was real slim. We used to call them pistol feet.
Yeah. Let me see. Some of the other styles were the chemise and the hoop skirt. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember those.
Let me see. Do you remember the can-can underskirts?
No, I guess I do.
And this is Olympia Kaufman, who has just interviewed Mrs. Flora White, age 65, here in Stanford, Kentucky. And this is for the oral history tape at Somerset Community College. And anytime after 2 or 3 weeks, you can go to the library in Stanford and hear your recording.